Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9.04 on the clock. I got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
Oh, we hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get into some fun stuff this hour. Got a possible that ain't right story for you a little bit later. Some good stories of the day. But we kick off this hour, as we have been doing on Mondays for quite some time now, with our show inside the show. It is The Kitchen's Open. This is Melissa and Beth's cooking show. And as we dive into this, you two, and I want to make sure to get your theme music going here a little bit. There we go. I have a question to kind of kick off your show, if you two don't mind.
Okay.
Okay.
So in our family, tradition has always been, and I think in a lot of families, the cook, you know, doesn't do the cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever cooks, everybody else cleans.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been that way in our family, and I think that's a common thing. What happens if it's a bad cook? Should they still have? Does it still count? Does the rule still count? If you eat the meal, it's a horrible meal, like just a bad meal. Should they have to still do the dishes, or they still get a break?
I think they should still get a break because yeah. They put in the effort to make the meal, so they should still have help cleaning it up.
It's interesting that you ask that question, James.
Yes.
I'm not going to ask your motivation behind it. But that actually has to do with the topic that I had chosen for this week. Mm. It's not the one I went with because I ended up spending way too much of my own time trying to formulate that and went a different direction for this week. Maybe we'll come back to that in
Could
a subsequent
circle around.
Yep. Sounds good.
Later this year.
Sounds good.
But today, for Monday, January 9th of 2023, we are going to dive into broth.
Broth. Not best. Broth.
Yeah, correct. It's such a simple ingredient, but it can make almost any dish it's added to better. And January is also National Soup Month, so this is perfect.
Yeah.
I didn't know that when I picked this topic. Broth can be made or bought in a variety of choices, from the type of meat or vegetable to sodium level to organic. You can even buy bone broth now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dig into the world of broth and see what makes a good one and how you can make easy, delicious broth at home.
Yeah.
So chicken broth or stock is good for everything from a cold to homemade chicken soup. And chicken broth is most likely the most common that you're going to find.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's less likely thing to find in kitchens now? Not as common? A chicken carcass.
That's true.
Yeah, it's probably not as common to buy a whole chicken unless you have a large family that you're making a chicken for. Or you raise your own and you do your own butchering. So maybe more common around this area than some areas, but once you get into the city, it's far less common that would happen, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either buy a whole chicken from the store and use it for a meal, or maybe even buy a rotisserie chicken so that the whole carcass is there and it's already cooked for you. Or you can save your bones from several meals. Just make sure to put them in a freezer bag and throw them in the freezer to store them until you're actually going to use them to make your broth.
Mm-hmm. You'll also want a good selection of veggies, and the typical ones to use are carrots, celery, onion, garlic. You can also add whatever you like, and this is another thing you can do by utilizing your freezer, is to save the scraps of your vegetables as you're preparing other meals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, wash your carrots and then peel them and keep the peelings. Put them in the freezer.
Yeah.
So then when you just add to that as you're prepping other meals and stuff, and eventually you have a bag full of scraps that you can use to make broth with.
Mm-hmm. And it's the flavor that you're going to really want from them, not necessarily it doesn't have to look nice if it's in a broth.
Correct.
So
right. You can use the ends of your carrots, the ends of your celery.
Mm-hmm.
Just wash them first.
Yes. Yeah, because you still want to be healthy with all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want pesticides in your broth.
And herbs and seasonings are important as well and can be to your liking. You know, use whatever you'd like. Thyme, rosemary, peppercorns, and bay leaves are common choices. But you could also use sage, parsley, and salt. And they're just as good as anything else. Pepper and different types of peppers. You know, there's white pepper.
Right.
Black pepper, cayenne pepper, so just whatever types of seasonings that you would like.
And the thing to remember with broth is that you don't necessarily want to make it too over the top because it's supposed to be the base for something else.
Right.
So you want to really be minimal with your salt, especially, mm-hmm. that you add to it, because you're going to add more seasonings to whatever recipe you're making with the broth.
Right. And it's a lot easier to add salt to something than try to take it out once it's in there.
Correct. So then you'll want to put the carcass or bones, veggies, and herbs in a large kettle, cover them with water. You're going to bring this to a boil and simmer for at least 3 to 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave the lid off if you want the flavors to concentrate. I've always left the lid on over mine as I made it, with it tilted just a little bit. That's how my mom did it. So I just did what she did.
Well, there you go. And that's how we learn the best, right? From watching and participating with someone else.
Mm-hmm. So, and if you don't have someone else, there's a lot of YouTube videos.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So you can follow the exact same recipe for beef stock as we're doing here for chicken stock, except you mm-hmm. use beef neck bones, skin, or knuckle bones, or an oxtail. Veggies and seasonings can be the same, or you can add parsnips and leeks, something a little bit heartier. Probably don't use the sage, though. And you can cook the beef broth from 2 to 8 hours.
Yeah, beef bones, they need a little bit longer, I would guess. So now, bone broth has been a buzzword in the health world recently. Using the bones and simmering them for a long time results in a nutrient-rich liquid.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any actual published research confirming all the benefits that bone broth advocates list off, but some of these just make sense. So it's a highly nutritious because of all the vitamins and minerals in bones.
Mm-hmm.
Calcium, magnesium, potassium, phosphorus, vitamin A, K2, zinc, iron, boron, manganese, and selenium. The amount of these depends on what type of animal and which bones you use. Bone broth may protect joints because of all the collagen.
Yeah.
It may aid in digestion and give you a better night's sleep.
Ooh, maybe that's what you should have had the other night.
Maybe I should have just whipped some of that up. And there are indications that it could help fight inflammation. And, of course, it claims to help you lose weight. But, pretty much everything does that.
Yeah, it's true.
Buzzword-wise, anyway.
There you go. Well, if all you're having is the bone broth, maybe.
Yeah,
it's possible.
That's true.
You're still getting all of those wonderful minerals and vitamins and all of that. And it almost sounded like you were having a bit of a song going there. So maybe we can do that to help us remember these are the benefits within bone broth. But if you are using beef bones, you'll probably have to talk to your local butcher because they are not as easy to come by. They can also cut bones in half for you and they'll fit in your stock pot. Mm-hmm. You can use knuckles, joints, feet, marrow bones, oxtail, shank, short ribs. This is all sounding good and making me hungry. So the recipe I read said you can use chicken feet as an added gelatin.
They apparently have a lot of gelatin in them, and I've run across this several times here, especially recently for some reason. I didn't realize that chicken feet could be used. Seems a little odd, but yeah, there you go. So your first step in making bone broth is you want to blanch the bones to remove any impurities, coagulated protein, and blood. So this will give you a cleaner, better tasting, clearer broth.
Okay.
Put your bones in a stock pot, cover them with cold water, bring them to a boil and simmer for 10 to 15 minutes. And then you want to drain and rinse the bones. That's important. And then also wash the stock pot.
Yes.
Because things that are collected, because you're going to use that pot again, but you need to wash it first to get all of those impurities out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You don't want to keep what you're trying to boil out in the pot.
In the pan.
Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose. So the next thing you want to do is you can roast the bones and veggies for up to an hour at 450 degrees in the oven. You can use the typical veggies for this and add that depth of flavor that you want to look for without making it overwhelming. So things like carrots, onions, garlic, and celery are common ones to use. You'll want to give everything a stir about a half hour into the roasting.
Now you have a choice here. You're going to need to simmer the bones for at least 8 to 12 hours. Some recipes I read, you can actually go up to 24 or even 48 if you're using a crock pot, but you don't want the veggies to be in there that whole time.
Right.
So you can either add them right away and then take them out after a couple hours, or you can wait till the last couple hours of cook time and put them in toward the end.
Right.
If you cook them the whole time, they're going to be bitter. they'll add a bitter flavor to your broth. That's not what you want.
No. So, yeah, just remember, bones longer, veggies shorter.
Yep.
So, and then you add in your seasonings as well. So you can use bay leaves, ginger, thyme, rosemary, turmeric, and peppercorns. Another recipe also called for a whole star anise and cinnamon sticks. But I don't, not quite sure about those. I don't know if I want a licorice flavor or, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe if you're just drinking the bone broth, that right. might be an added. But if you want to use it for soups or recipes, I don't know.
And I would do a little bit more research as what kind of cinnamon, because there are different types mm-hmm. of cinnamon out there. And maybe there is one that's a little bit more on the savory side that would be better mm-hmm. for something like this.
There is. It's the more expensive one.
Yeah. So if you're willing to invest that, it might be a great thing. But one thing you absolutely do need is apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. And that will help break down the collagen in the bones. You fill the stock pot with enough water to cover the bones by about an inch. So make sure you have that extra little bit on top. Bring it to a boil, then reduce it to a simmer and put the lid on slightly tilted. Add more water as needed, and you can skim off any of the foam and excess fat if you don't want to have that in there.
Mm-hmm. So once it's simmered for the amount of time you want or have,
yeah.
If you're going to, they do say if you are going to cook this on the stovetop, don't leave your pan unattended overnight with the stove on. They say
right.
take it off, let it cool, put it in the fridge overnight, and then restart your in the morning on the stove. So once you have it cooked, pour it through a fine mesh strainer to get a clear broth. If you want it even clearer, you can also use food grade cheesecloth mm-hmm. to strain it a second time and get it really nice and clear. Then you can store this in the fridge for up to 5 days. Some say, you know, between 4 and 6.
Okay.
Or you can freeze it for up to 6 months.
There you go.
Now you can also choose, and this is true for regular broth or stock too, you can freeze it in the amounts that you want to use it in. So if you know you're going to need a quart, you know, like if you want to make soup with it, freeze it in a quart jar.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's completely cooled. Or you can put it in an ice cube tray if you want little amounts of broth for different recipes. So there's lots of different ways you can break mm-hmm. it up in the freezer to have it prepped for what you want to use it for.
Right. So you're making your own little bouillons mm-hmm. rather than having to buy the store-bought ones.
Yep.
So how to use your broth stock and bone broth? What can we use it for? So you simply can drink it, like we've been talking about, especially the bone broth with some added seasonings. And you can use it in a variety of recipes, and it really enhances your culinary experience.
Mm-hmm. And some of those seasonings that you want to add to bone broth, think fresh herbs.
Yes.
And probably a little bit of salt, because you don't really want to use too much when you're making it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to be drinking it just straight for its benefits.
Yep.
You're going to want to make it taste a little better.
And that's the time to do it.
Yeah.
Not while you're making it, but when you're about to have it.
Right. So the obvious first choice for using broth or stock is making soup, like I did this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to just be chicken noodle or beef stew. It could also be brothy soups, like
yeah.
Vietnamese pho or Italian sausage and zucchini soup.
Ooh, yeah, those sound yummy. And you could also use it in place of water in some recipes. Think to make it with rice or risotto, lentils, couscous, potatoes, pasta, and quinoa. I actually have started to use it in place of water in my chili. And in with my stuffing, like if I'm having a chicken stuffing, using the chicken broth instead of water, and it adds another depth of flavor
nice.
To the stuffing and to the chili.
Mm-hmm.
It adds a lot of flavor without adding much salt, because you haven't added that yet. And especially if you don't use that much or to make your own broth.
So you can also use broth in recipes like jambalaya, beef stroganoff, tater tot casserole, or pretty much any recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Just taste as you go along before adding all the seasonings that the recipe calls for, and so that it's not too salty.
Right. Right. So that's,
a lot of recipes are going to have, you know, like toward the end, adding in all of your spices, but mm-hmm. taste first.
Yeah. And think about how salty some of the other ingredients you're going to add into that broth are going to be, because that'll help determine how much salt you want to add yourself.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good time of year. I know it's a little bit warmer than usually seasonable this time of year,
mm-hmm.
but winter is an awesome time for making soups.
Yeah.
And they also freeze well.
They
so
do.
That's a really handy thing to have in your freezer to pull out when you don't feel like cooking dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with that, I think we'll close the kitchen.
Absolutely.
Wonderful, 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 as always. And as always, every time we leave, I'm more informed and more hungry. Every time we wrap up that segment. Thank you both so very much. That was some great work, you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go ahead and take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're talking more food. It might be healthier to eat foods in a specific order.
Ooh.
That's what we're doing when we come back.
Okay.
See how I tie things together in my segues.
Yeah, I'm getting that.
Thanks. Back with more when we come back. Mornings on WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jen. Appreciate the updates. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. And this one's interesting. This sounds weird, but there's some real science behind it. You don't want your blood sugar to spike too much or too often, especially if you have type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
But a 2015 study found that one thing that helps is eating your foods in a specific order.
Who knew?
I've always done this because I'm weird. I like if I've got if I'm eating pizza, mm-hmm. and there's one slice that looks better than the others to me, I'm eating that one last. if I'm eating a couple of course or a meal with sides, mm-hmm. and this side is my favorite thing in the world, that will be the last thing I eat.
Hmm.
That'll be the last thing I eat on my plate.
So prioritizing what you eat.
Yes. I get the stuff out of it. Very similar to a lot of my life. I get the work out of the way so that I can have fun.
Okay.
I get the vegetables and all that stuff I'm supposed to eat because it's healthy out of the way so that I can get to the fun stuff.
Okay.
I don't think that has anything to do with this, though.
All right.
I think so the most important part of this, though, the most important part is eating starchy or sugary stuff last.
Okay.
Eating that stuff last makes your body digest the sugar more gradually, so it doesn't get into your bloodstream right away. The study found it can reduce blood sugar spikes by 75%.
Wow. Mm. That is quite the reduction.
Here's the order you're supposed to go in. Vegetables and other high fiber foods first, fats and proteins next, and finish with simple carbohydrates or anything with lots of sugar in it.
Hmm.
A lot of people have been testing it out on social media in different places, and it seems to be like a running theme of it working.
So those compartmentalized plates are actually good
for something like this.
Other than, you know, because you have me that throws it all together and eats it all at the same time.
Right. Some people said it ate the exact same meal 2 days in a row, broccoli, avocado, tuna, and rice, and that's the correct order you should eat them in. When they did it the opposite way, his blood sugar spiked, or the number of people's blood sugar spiked twice as much. Twice as much.
Wow.
Hmm.
That is, I'm sorry, can we just take a step back? That's fascinating.
That is.
You would never, I don't think that anybody, no matter how smart or how silly you might be, would necessarily think that this is actually real, that this would actually have an effect. It all goes in the same place. Isn't that our old phrase? Isn't mm-hmm. that what we always say?
Mm-hmm.
It all goes in the same place. I mean, what could be the difference here? I don't know. I want to dive into this more and more because I think this is just fascinating.
Well, it's a wonderful reminder that there's a science to food.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is, and this world is really fascinating, and I actually know quite a lot about it because my mom, for a number of years, was treating her cancer with diet. Mm. So she did a lot of raw foods and food combining. She had charts of how to combine your food, how long things take to digest,
wow.
so how long they stay in your stomach. When they started actually scientifically studying that study was fascinating, also disgusting,
right. That too, yeah,
fascinating. Food combining, there's different charts that you can look at. There's a ton of them. I don't have the one my mom had, but it broke it down by, you know, like your proteins, your vegetables, your fruits, your starches, whether fruit is acid or sweet or subacid. And then how long each one of those things takes to digest in your stomach. So it's interesting then to also add in that the blood sugar.
Right.
I don't
think
that she really paid too much attention to that necessarily, because that wasn't what she was treating. But the science of food and how our bodies function based on what we feed ourselves is
right.
fascinating to me.
Well, and listening to the order in which we should eat things, it reminds me of the courses that used to be popular. You know, you start with your salad, which are your raw veggies with higher fiber, and then you move into your meat, and then you go into your dessert, so that they were naturally doing it in that order. And somewhere along the lines, we just blended it all together into one plate.
Convenience. It's speed,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I know I need to eat healthy, but I want to do it fast. This is taking too long. Mm-hmm. It's giving it to me fast. I want my meal to take a minute to cook. I think that's all that stuff kind of, you know, fed each other, mm-hmm. if you will. Mm-hmm. The foods with the longest time to digest are bacon, beef, lamb, whole milk, hard cheese, and nuts.
Hmm.
These foods take an average of about 4 hours for your body to digest. The digestion process still occurs even when asleep, which means our digestive fluids and the acids in our stomachs are active. Right. Our body is always awake.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds maybe not, but our bodies are always awake. Our body never gets a day off.
Well, it's one of the reasons why a lot of doctors say don't eat meals after a certain time. Mm-hmm. Like 7 o'clock yeah. should be a cutoff, so that your body has time to finish digesting before you fall asleep, and you're less likely then to have things like acid reflux while you're mm-hmm. sleeping.
Interesting. It just interesting.
Yeah?
So much of this. I don't know if there's anything else that really, I don't know what more that we can take from this necessarily, but I want to keep talking about it because it's just so
cool.
Interesting. Yeah, it's just so interesting.
It's cool.
I have to admit, too, I've been probably more than I ever have in my life in the last couple of months really trying to pay more and more attention to what I'm putting mm-hmm. into my body. So that might be a little bit of why this is so interesting to
yeah.
me, too, because as I'm learning this stuff, I'm seeing so much of it like play out in real time with my body and mm-hmm. my reactions and how I'm feeling and how I'm doing, all these different things. It's as if what you put in your body matters.
Go figure. Shocking.
I'm starting to learn. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll all learn some. We're getting to Melissa's news. When we come back, we'll have some more fun. I got that Ain't Right story, the possible That Ain't Right story,
okay.
coming up for you, everybody. And, of course, some good stories of the day, all lined up right here at The Morning Show on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day around here. 80s theme going
yeah.
on. Melissa, Beth, and James with you. I was an older man when I finally realized what an amazing musician Steve Winwood
is. Oh, yeah.
He's got a long, long career. Oh, yeah. He was like 13 or something when he joined the Spencer Davis Group and had a hit, you know, Give Me Some Lovin' and everything.
Yeah.
And long career. I had an article that Melissa sent over the other day that I thought was awfully cool, and I've been wanting to get to this, and we finally got a chance right here. It comes to us from the Wisconsin Public Radio, so big shout-out to them mm-hmm. and to Glenn Weldon, who does some great reporting over there. The Congress-elect swears by and on a vintage Superman.
What?
Yes.
Congress-elect Robert Garcia, a Democrat out of California, made some news by announcing he will eventually swear himself in on a copy of the Constitution, a photo of his late parents, his certificate of U.S. citizenship, and a copy of Superman number 1 on loan from the Library of Congress.
Okay.
Usually that unusual that last bit, right?
Yeah.
You know, kind of different, a
yeah.
little different there. But it kind of is a baseline of profoundly, it is kind of American,
mm-hmm.
Quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because Garcia is a lifelong comic book nerd, but because of what Superman number 1 is as a historical and cultural object.
Okay.
And they kind of get into the article of why that is
mm-hmm.
and what it is about that. And what I like, and great, again, great article, great reporting, encourage you to read this article. You'll find it right away when you go to WPR.org. Encourage you to do that. What I like about this, and we've already seen this obviously in, you know, over almost 20 years now of the rise and staying power of superhero movies
mm-hmm.
and TV shows and all that. Comic books have shown you this for decades of their stayability and the all that. But the Americana part of comic books has been missing. It's this thing that we've all done for ages. Little kids find a comic book and they read it, or they get the newspaper and they read comics in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Almost every child, no matter where you're born, no matter what race you are, has done this. It's a part of being American.
Right.
It's a part of Americana. And I don't know necessarily if I would say that he that's his main essence of the article here or anything, but I do think that that is a gist of it. That is a part of it. And I do love the idea of being able to like bring a little attention to this, because the days of this being a niche thing or anything, long gone, way gone. People who have never read a comic in their comic book in their life have a favorite comic book character.
Right.
It's funny to me. It's interesting, but it's also kind of a this. At the same time, there's the Americana aspect of it. Mm-hmm. There's also what to me seems very cool. The you know you've heard the phrase the rise of nerd culture and that nerds are cool now mm-hmm. and all this. That's never going to get old to me. Not nerds being cool. Being passionate about a subject being cool.
Right.
That's what's being. That is something that I think is worth celebrating. Every day that we are getting better and better as a society of, oh, you, this is your passion? You're really into beekeeping? That's cool. You're mm-hmm. into beekeeping. Good for you. Not nerd. Not, you know, and we immediately, you know, want to begrudge this person for being really into science and being passionate about something. If you are a mechanic, you got that vehicle that you're rebuilding, and you've been doing this for years. You mm-hmm. and your buddies come by, you have a couple beers, you work on it. You're a nerd. You're a nerd, man. You're a nerd about cars.
There you go.
That's all it means is just being overly passionate or passionate mm-hmm. about a certain subject.
Right. Well, and what I love about this is there's a whole genre of children's books that have now kind of taken that leap from comic books. I think of Dave Pilkey, the author,
yeah.
who has at least two or three Captain Underpants. If you've ever picked up one of the Captain Underpants books, mm. it's basically a longer version of a comic book. The Dogman series, there are all sorts of series out there now that my boys have really gotten into without it being one of those classic comic book cover kind of things. Mm. It's a book, but it's the same kind of style and storytelling that comic books have.
The important thing, too, to note about this is that he picked the very first Superman comic book. And there's a reason for that, because the very first comic books from Superman were different than the ones that came later. Because in that very first one, he didn't enforce the status quo.
Mm.
He looked out for the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he stepped up for the defenseless, the marginalized, the exploited. Anyone who got abused and used by the system, Superman stepped up and helped them.
Yeah. Here's what Superman gets up to in the pages of Superman number one. He savagely beats up a man who abuses a woman, prevents the state from executing a wrongly convicted prisoner, torments a corrupted Washington lobbyist, forces a greedy munitions manufacturer, thank you, Melissa, munitions manufacturer to experience the horrors of war on the front lines as his own products explode around him. Prevents a second execution, this time via a firing squad. Just so many different things that he does in this mm-hmm. comic book that are so apt today and so what we want. Cause
you mean he cared more about people than the policy?
Than power.
Yeah. Wow. Right.
So much of comic books and so much of comic book characters are supposed to be what we want us to be, what we mm-hmm. envision other humans to be,
mm-hmm.
and take it to an extreme, yes, but an extreme that is achievable. While we can't all, you know, fly as fast as a silver bullet or mm-hmm. so many of these other things, we can do these things. We can hold Absolutely. People accountable. We can do these kind of things.
Now,
at the heart of every Superman story, he puts the needs of others over those of himself, yes. and he never gives up.
Yes. I don't condone beating people up willy-nilly, mm. but standing up for those that cannot stand up for themselves. That is what we should all be doing.
Yeah. That is a really cool article, and I did not. Wouldn't have seen it without you, Mel. I appreciate you sending
yeah.
that over.
Oh, for sure. And I would highly recommend anybody to read the whole article, because there's a lot of really good information
oh,
in there.
Oh, yeah. I like to try to, I could sit here and spend the next half an hour reading the entire article, or I could encourage you to do some reading yourselves. Read. Mm-hmm. Actually read more than headlines. Get out there, read articles. Again, going back to earlier conversation of supporting journalism.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting to follow this career to see what he does.
Yeah. Speaking of journalism, I did some journalism and discovered how long does gum take to digest in our system?
Okay.
Old wise tale, and we were just talking about digestion and all that and everything. So during the break, I was looking into it. I did a couple of different things here, and here's how gum is digested. You swallow the gum, passes through your esophagus, through your small intestine. Your small intestine absorbs sugars and nutrients. The ingestible portion of the gum moves from the small intestine through the colon, passes through there. Gum eventually takes, it will usually pass through your system completely in way less than 7 days.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how many of us were told that growing up and everything, but I know that was badgered in my head over and over and over again.
Don't swallow that gum. It'll be there for 7 years.
How many times that worked on me? I feel so foolish right now.
I don't know. I always felt gross if I swallowed gum. It seemed wrong.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates all morning long. Big shout out to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. And thank you to all of you for joining us and kicking off your week right here at WFHR. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Stick around. Got Playmakers coming up right at the top of the hour. Take you to 11. Get in the game. Over to midday highlight from the sidelines. We want your phone calls, your sports thoughts and feelings. Be sure to join Randy, Paul, and I for Playmakers 10 to 11 today. Brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. So I mentioned a couple of times that we've got a That Ain't Right story here, possibly.
Okay.
Because this may actually be really fun or interesting to some people. Some people may really like this. Is this fun or just wasteful? An ice cream place called Catch an Ice Cream recently opened in New York, and their gimmick is they throw you your order.
What?
It comes as one big scoop. They hurl it across the room, and you're supposed to catch it in a bowl. It opened last summer, but two videos are trending right now. One of people catching ice cream and one of people dropping it. If you drop your order, they give you a new scoop. So it's just for fun. A TikToker named Dylan Lemmy opened it after he got a following online while working at a Cold Stone
Creamery.
Yeah. So I'm going to show Beth the video here, a little bit of some of this. Of course, it didn't work for me.
It just takes time.
It just took me somewhere completely different. Let's see here. But yeah, it's, I'll see if it just plays. Yeah, it just plays by itself. So you go, okay. Oh,
okay. And it's not that far. You're only like a yard away, if that, from the counter. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It looks
is it underhand or overhand?
Underhand.
Like, yeah. And you've got the bowl's actually not all that big. So you know, there's a wide, but the nice thing is you can hold it out in front of you, so there for less distance for them to have to throw it. I wanted to see the big lob.
Yeah.
You know, he showed me all the successes. He didn't show me any of the
misses. Yeah, I didn't see any of the misses. Yeah, I didn't see that that video myself. I want to see that one.
But I think it's very creative.
I love I love the idea of trying to do anything different necessarily, and then if it hits, I mean, I love the idea in general, just anything, but especially when it hits is what I mean. I think that's pretty cool. I remember this makes me think of when I was a kid and I first heard about them. You know, they get this great place. They serve the best hot dogs you're going to find, and they'll insult you while you're getting them. And what are you talking about? And it's one of the most famous restaurants in America, certainly in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that works. Like, you go there, and the food is great, and it's fast, and you got to love that. But you go there because you want to be ribbed. You want to... it's like why people wanted to sit in the front row at a Don Rickles concert. Yeah. They wanted him to rip on that. Oh, please, Don, look at me. Look at the funny hat I'm wearing, Don. Make fun of my hat. You know, people kind of like this kind of stuff from time to time. If you just want your ice cream regular, then you can go to a place for that. But if... It seems like this place is popular. If it stays popular, This is a great get for them, and you know, it's a small business that is surviving.
Mm-hmm. To me, what would make it go ahead?
I was just gonna say, I wonder if it's popular with tourists or if it's also popular with residents.
Great question.
Yeah, for me, what would make it a That Ain't Right story is if you had to eat the ice cream that you dropped.
Oh, geez.
From the floor. That would be a That Ain't Right story. you don't. If you miss it, you're out of luck.
That would definitely be. Boy, I didn't read the article ahead of time, so I was a little curious about that part of it. I was really happy to read that.
Yes. Yeah.
The Wiener Circle, by the way, is the place I was referring to in Chicago.
Well, that's an apt name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. It really is, yeah. Well, I think that overall, I would say that's a good story.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
I guess the only That Ain't Right part would have been is if you wouldn't, you know, you had to eat the ice cream, that part, yeah.
You drop it, you still have to eat it, just as is.
Well, here could be a very true That Ain't Right story. And we go to the Associated Press for this one. Came out January 3rd. And actually, we're going way across the pond. We're going to Copenhagen, Denmark.
Oh,
for the first time in years, Denmark hasn't recorded a single bank robbery.
Hey. Really?
And to be fair, there really wouldn't have been much point. Cash transactions in the Nordic country have become virtually obsolete, with Danes increasingly opting to use cards and smartphones for payments. The Danish Bank Employees Union on Tuesday welcomed the news that 2022 had been robbery-free.
Well, there you go.
It is just amazing. Quote, it is just amazing because robberies put an absolute extreme strain on the affected employees every time they happen, mm-hmm. a spokesperson, mm-hmm. Steen Lund Olsen, said in a statement. Finance Denmark, the banking sector's association, said only about 20 bank branches across the country have cash holdings. But when the number of bank branches has fallen from 219 in 1991 to 56 in 2022.
Wow.
News reports noted that the cash withdrawals in Denmark have been dropping by about 3/4 every year for the past 6 years. In 2000, 221 bank robberies were recorded, Finance Denmark said. In 2021, there was just one. Initially, robbers switched their attention from bank branches to automatic teller machines, with such attacks peaking at 18 in 2016. But those two have come down to zero amid better surveillance and technical protection, the industry associates report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are the robbers going to do with the cash they get if nobody's using cash?
Finance Denmark said criminals in recent years have turned to defrauding people online. So that is certainly a That Ain't Right part of this story. That's where this has kind of gone to. That's why you've seen a rise in, you know, scamming, and that sort of thing. But has anybody thought about what are we going to do with all these ski masks? It's only so cold for so long out there, and these poor ski masks have nothing else to do. There's only so many uses for a ski mask in rational society, and I worry about that. No, this is awesome.
Yeah.
How cool is this?
Yeah.
In baseball, they wanted to speed up the game, so they got all these rules coming up next year, and one of them is having a pitch clock.
Right.
And they realized when they tried this out in the minors, hey, wait a minute, our stolen bases are going up. Like, they didn't do it for that, but this is a wonderful positive effect from this. Like, we didn't do the whole online banking thing to get rid of bank robberies, but what a great little side effect to kind of happen from this whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, especially for the bank employees.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Just really interesting. Quite a different date. And I got to wonder how this is going to affect us here in the States as we go more and more, because we're not going to... The genie's out of the bottle. We're not going to go more to a cash society. We're not going to like flip things and all of a sudden go straight cash or anything like that. We're just going to be more and more or less cash as we go forward here. At the very least, we're going to stay about average of where we are already. But that even with that, it's the numbers are just going to dwindle more and more. And the people that do use cash are dwindling more and more. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Another one that I got to give some credit for. I did not know that the Winter Farmers Market was going to be taking place, Beth. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of this until you brought it to us a little while ago.
Right.
And I'm so darn excited and so happy about the Winter Farmers Market going on. I want that to be our lead good story of the day.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are pleased to be able to do it. It was in the works for a little while, but, you know, because you have to work by committee in churches, it sometimes takes a little bit to get all of the details in place. And so, yeah, we're thrilled to be able to meet this need for our community. It was something that the community wanted. There wasn't the space for it. There were, you know, they were really looking for somebody who would be willing to take on the responsibility of coordinating it. And we have a group of people in our congregation that said, yeah, this will be good for the community. It'll be good for us. It's a great way to give back. So we're looking forward to having more and more vendors come. So if you came on Saturday and you thought, oh, well, there's not much here, give us a chance. Every week is going to be different. You know, vendors will choose where they're going to go and when they're going to go there. So you might see, I don't know that you'll have two Saturdays that'll have the exact same vendors there all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you are a vendor, please come check us out. There is a contact information on our website, wrmoravian.org. We also have a Facebook page. So look for the Winter's Market Facebook page as well. And there's more information about who to contact. And again, it's Saturdays through the end of April. So I think April 29th might be our last Saturday that we do it, because then it moves back outside. But we are hoping to do it again in the fall. So come check us out Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And you can find out more about this and keep up to date going to wrmoravian.org. Mm-hmm. wrmoravian.org. There's a wonderful little more section. Go over to that and you'll find the Winter Farmers Market.
Yep.
For vendors or for people just want to learn more about it.
Absolutely.
I also wanted to mention one more time that this Thursday we are bringing back a longtime favorite. It is Pet of the Week time. Yay. With our Southwood County Humane Society.
Awesome.
Looking so forward to this, everybody. That is coming up this Thursday. We will kick off the 9 o'clock hour there with that. Do want to remind everybody, our friends over at Southwood County Humane Society, you don't have to wait to hear about these dogs or see anything. You can volunteer. You can be a part of things right now. Get on over there, swchs.com. See what you can do to help, whether it's dropping off maybe some dog food or maybe taking some of these little furry guys for a walk or something like that. Certainly worth looking into. We appreciate and wish a good morning to our good friends at the Southwood County Humane Society and all of our humane societies.
Yes.
And all of our listenership, wherever you're listening to us. Mm-hmm. And other good stories. So a Philadelphia Eagles fan did CPR in the stands and saved a guy's life last week.
Wow.
Nice.
He was in full face paint when he did it. He's an ER doctor who performed in a parade before the game and was still in costume. A nurse in full Eagles gear also helped. They got his heart going again, and the first question he asked when he came to was the score of the game.
So was it an Eagles fan that they performed CPR on, or the opposing team?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Diehard fan.
Yeah.
He's expected to recover, and that's certainly the key part there.
Yay.
An 18-year-old pilot pulled off an emergency landing on a road near San Bernardino, California last week while three family members were on board with him.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Man, I cannot imagine.
No.
No pressure.
Right, yeah.
Hope they weren't backseat flying.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The engine cut out and his grandmother was in the backseat crying. So he had to tune it all out and focus. He's been flying since he was 16, but just recently got his license. He eventually wants to be an airline pilot.
Good for him. Well, got his name out there. I'm sure there are going to be plenty of airlines that'll be ready to scoop him up.
That's just incredible. That's also some of the greatest bragging rights you will ever have in your family. You will, like, the next, like, anything you do wrong the rest of your life, I'm keeping that in my back pocket.
Yeah. If
keeping
mom was right on board and mom starts to complain, mom, I saved your life.
I noticed.
Time.
Yeah. I'm skating on that for at least 10 years. At least 10 years. I'm skating on that. That is an awesome story.
Yeah.
He definitely proved he could perform under pressure.
Absolutely.
well done, Melissa. Here's a trend we hope continues. A TikToker in Maryland named Rory McCarty recently met an 82-year-old Walmart cashier named Butch Marion, who's a Navy vet. And Butch was so nice, Rory started an online fundraiser and raised over $100,000 to help him retire.
Wow.
He gave Butch a giant check after his final day of work last week, and they both got pretty darn emotional.
Aww.
There was a story in November about someone who did the same thing for an elderly lady at a Walmart in New Jersey. Rory says the story is what inspired him. It's heartbreaking how many of our population is unable to retire.
Right.
And that, you know, we all understand this game. You know, hey, we put into this, and when I'm too old to be able to do anything anymore, my government's going to take care of me, my job is going to take care of me, my business is going to take care of me, etc. We are judged by these things as a society. How we treat the poor, how we treat the elderly, how we treat our youth. We are judged by these things by history.
And this is one of the ways you play God today for Playing God Day.
Yeah, well done, Beth. Well, nicely done. And I will say, though, that was kind of in your wheelhouse.
You think?
Great show today, everybody. This was a lot of fun. Yeah. Great way to kick off the week. We had a lot of fun, and we want to encourage you to keep on listening all week long. Melissa and I will be hanging out tomorrow. Going to have a really good show for you lined up. We're going to be joined in the 9 o'clock hour by Patrick. Patrick's from High Gear Productions. We're going to learn more about Pat and his work over there. That's going to be a lot of fun. You two have a great day.
You too, James.
You too, James.
Stick around for Playmakers coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.